TalkZone presents The Cyber Advisor. This is the show that looks at the people and events that move the financial markets and shape our economy. Here's your host for The Cyber Advisor, David Revelle.
It's a financial projection that is so wrong, it's absolutely historic. On Friday afternoon, after this show was over and most people had gone home or left on vacation, the White House announced that their forward projections on the budget deficit was off by 30%, or $2 trillion. If you or I did this, you know, we'd be fired. Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Cyber Advisor. It's the up-to-date news and analysis you need to survive financially. I'm Dave Revelle, and if you'd like to join us on the show, our lines are open. Dial toll-free at 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. Or you can reach me on my email, dave@thecyberadvisor.com. Well, a lot to do on today's show. In the first segment, we'll listen to David Wiesel. He's the economics editor for the Wall Street Journal, and he points out we've turned a page in the history of this market. It's now Barack Obama's economy, and let's hope this administration gets a real handle on its forward financial forecasting. Next, we'll see what's moving the markets in our weekly recap on Wall Street. In the second segment, we look at the reappointment of Ben Bernanke to head the Federal Reserve Bank. Wall Street was certainly pleased with this move, but how are the banks really doing? In the next part, we'll listen to Sheila Bair. Now, she's head of the FDIC, and she gives a rundown on how the banks are really faring in this very difficult economy. The future for many banks is not as bright as they face, not only problems with their own loan portfolios, but also there's the rising cost of their insurance, the assessment given to them by the FDIC, and also they're having new accounting rules that they have to face. These stricter accounting rules will disallow some of the bank assets, making them have to go to the market to raise additional capital and making their life even tougher. It's a tough time for the banks, and those regulators, including the FDIC, are certainly not helping. In the third segment, Diane Swonk, she's chief economist at Mizro Financial, the big Chicago-based stock brokerage firm, takes a look back at the financial crisis. You know, it'll be coming up to the one-year anniversary of the Lehman Brothers bankruptcy. And we'll see how today's bankrupt failure, in the case many CEOs, politicians, and economists, simply missed what was really happening. The financial system meltdown took place in a sea of denial, says Diane Swonk. And finally, we'll take a look at the new social networking that's going on. You may have heard of Twitter. Well, this is Stock Twits. It's a forum for stock market traders, and it's based on the Twitter platform, and it's gained the attention of the NASDAQ. On Thursday, NASDAQ invited the founder of Stock Twits to ring the closing bell. And we'll find out why this new technology is really turning heads on Wall Street. Finally, we'll take a look at the economic calendar, both look back at what happened in today or in this week's economy and also what's going on ahead of time. Well, the Obama administration proved to be way off the mark with their early projections of the federal budget deficit. $2 trillion to be off the mark, to be exact, they were off the mark. And it's so large that it's hard to grasp. Take all the profits from the top 500 publicly traded companies, add them all together, and you don't even get a number that's half that large. They'll make about $0.75 trillion this year, all 500 companies put together, according to Standard & Poor's. But this is more than double that. Friday's new projection was off about 30%, and if they were a public company, the White House would have violated Sarbanes-Oxley, where chief executive officers and chief financial officers are personally liable and face civil penalties for having projections that are that far off the mark. A large problem, but the administration has all the resources in the world to get it correctly. And the Congressional Budget Office seems to get it right most of the time. It's very bothersome that the White House claims that earlier assumptions about the economy were too optimistic. So that's why the projection called for the end of the recession now in the third quarter with steady growth thereafter. Is it possible that even this new projection may be too optimistic again? What if, as some people, including Noriel Roubini and Martin Feldstein, have pointed out, that we may get a double-dip recession? Why is that not taken into the projections that we're seeing out of the White House? Why is there no worst-case scenario? What happens if these latest projections are moved even lower? It's just the type of uncertainty that markets absolutely hate. Well, speaking of President Obama and the economy, we've just turned a page, says David Wiesel, the economics editor of the Wall Street Journal. As he notes in this interview on CNBC, it's now Barack Obama's economy. Here's David Wiesel.
It's Barack Obama's economy now. For the past 7 months, the president and his economic team have taken credit for everything good that's happened in the economy and blame the previous administration of George W. Bush for everything that went wrong. There was some merit to that. The president did inherit an awful economy, a collapsing financial system, and an enormous deficit. But the appointment of Ben Bernanke for a second term as Fed chairman and the report that the deficit for the next 10 years is even worse than the one that President Obama forecast in February is a punctuation point. From now on, it's the president's economy. And the people, the public, the press, the markets will judge him more on performance and less on effort. It's not enough to say we inherited a bad situation. It's now up to him to come up with a new business plan. That means a business plan for doing something about the deficit. Remember that his health care initiative, even if it passes Congress, won't do anything to shrink the deficit over the next 10 years. It means making sure the stimulus is well executed and any scandals are rooted out by the administration and people dealt with. It means coming up with some kind of approach to setting the rules for finance, for world trade, for doing business in America, so that businessmen have somewhat more certainty, which can only encourage them to invest and hire people.
Part of the determination of certainty, part of the taking away of some of the uncertainty in the process will be the Obama administration's ability to absolutely square with the investment public on how the economy's going and what they see ahead. Not just best case rosy scenario, but also worst case scenario. What happens if we slip back into a recession? We know that if that's the case, then federal government revenues will go down. Probably budget deficits will go up. What is the contingency plan moving forward? That's essentially what the markets are asking for President Obama and his administration to supply the investment community. Well, let's go to the exchange and see how the markets did this week. On Monday, the markets continued their winning ways. We've been up for over a week by then, but only barely, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average barely up just 3 points. NASDAQ was down about 3, and the Standard & Poor's was down about half a point. One of the interesting things that came out on Monday was this little blurb by the Dow Jones blog, where they said, financial historian on the Dow is a cultural icon, but is it possible that the Dow Jones Industrial Average itself might be up for sale? The Wall Street Journal reported this buried in one of their back offices, quote, a new owner of the Dow Jones Industrial Average might have the option to rename the Dow, bringing the 125-year-old name to a close. The broad name recognition of the index, however, will likely be a reason to keep it intact. A person familiar with the matter said that any deal, that is, any selling of the Dow Jones Industrial Average, will likely require that the Dow Jones name remain. Now, we all know that newspapers across the country are having lots and lots of difficulty, and one of the ways they raise capital is by selling off assets. wouldn't it be fascinating if they sold out sold off the name Dow Jones Industrial Average? Charles Geis, a professor of finance in Manhattan College, went back and spoke just a little bit about the Dow Jones history, and he said he was asked when the Dow was first launched. The answer, 1896, and what was its value at the time, back in 1896. From the Civil War to the turn of the 20th century, the stock market had been dominated by manipulation, rumor, planted news stories, and so on. But with the Dow, it was no longer possible for one financial writer to say it was a bad day to encourage selling when it really wasn't a bad day for the markets, because at the time, no one really had any idea. The index, the Dow Jones Industrial Average at least, gave a measure, a disciplined measure, of how the market was behaving rather than just leaving it to the whim of whatever financial writer happened to be covering the story. Well, that was a look at Monday. On Tuesday, markets up again. That's marked 6 days in a row with the Dow Jones Industrial Average up about 30 points, NASDAQ up 6.25, and the Standard & Poor's 500 index up just about 2.5 points. By that time, market technicians have kind of rolled into it, and as a Wall Street Journal reported, there was a choir of market technicians singing this rally's praise. Last week had been notable in that the strength was widespread. On Friday, the large cap dominated Dow Jones Industrial Average, the broader Standard & Poor's 500 technology-heavy NASDAQ composite, the small stock-focused Russell 2000 indexes, all closed at new highs for 2009. On Monday, all four made new intraday highs for the year before a slight pullback. Quote, there has been no evidence of deteriorating strength in each of the rallies this week, suggesting a continued healthy condition for the rally from the March lows, wrote Richard Dixon of Lowry Research. On Monday morning, most echoed Dixon's belief that the rally may still have room to grow. While there may be technical headwinds, given that the Dow is up roughly 46% from its March lows, many technicians now feel that even though they had failed to predict the earlier rallies, they were now believers. On Wednesday, up again 7 days in a row, the Dow was up 4 points, the NASDAQ up 0.2 points, and the Standard & Poor's up 0.1 points. As we close out the markets on Friday today, it looks like a very mixed market with the Dow currently slightly down, a little less than 1 hour to go in trading. NYMEX crude for the week for October delivery gained $1.06 and now stands at $72.49. while COMEX gold gained $1.20 and is standing at $945.50. One of the most interesting articles to come out came out this week on Fox Business when they noted that this is the ninth time the Dow Jones has surpassed 9,500. And the first time was back in February of 1999, back when the business headlines then included a defense by Microsoft defending it against a Netscape Department of Justice lawsuit claiming that they were a monopoly. Back in February of 1999, the unemployment rate stood at 4.75%. The national public debt stood at about $6.5 trillion. And Tim Geithner was Undersecretary of the Treasury. Things haven't changed much. The writer goes on to note that on the next time the Dow surpassed 9,500 was March of 2001. The Fed funds rate back then had risen to 5.5%. But unemployment was still at a startling 4.3%. Now, you may remember a huge debate about from economists when they were shocked to see the unemployment rate below 5% and yet inflation absolutely tame, as it was through most of that time, the late 1990s, the early 2000s. National public debt on March of 2000 stood at about $6.5 trillion, and Mary Shapiro was president of the NASD, the National Association of Securities Dealers. Mary Shapiro, you may know, is currently head of the Securities and Exchange Commission. Interesting how, although the seats are rearranged, many of the players stay the same. Next time the Dow surpassed 9,500 was on April of 2001. Fed funds rate declined slightly, down to 5% even. Unemployment rate was at 4.4%. National public debt had inched upwards to $7 trillion. And Hank Paulson was sitting over in the chairman's seat at Goldman Sachs. June 2002 was the next time that the Dow surpassed 9,500. Business headlines on those days, including WorldCom announcing that they'd improperly accounted for some $4 billion in expenses. Bernie Edwards, of course, went to jail and was basically prosecuted under Sarbanes-Oxley, what we were just noting earlier. Fed funds rate had declined down to 1.75%, and unemployment had risen to 5.8%, and public debt was streaking at this point up to about $8 trillion, and Ben Bernanke was being installed the first time as chairman of the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve Bank. Next time the market rallied above 9,500 was September of 2003. Richard Grasso, you may recall, the former chairman of the board of the New York Stock Exchange, and Ken Lagone were both battling Elliot Spitzer back in the days when he was the attorney general for New York. Barney Frank, currently chairman of the House Finance Committee, was watching as a regulator regulating Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Bank of America, and Citigroup as the senior member of the House Financial Services Committee back then. And he was telling everyone who would listen that, quote, these two entities, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, are not facing any kind of financial crisis. The more people exaggerate these problems, the more pressure there is on these companies, and the less we will see in terms of, quote, affordable housing. Back then, the Fed funds rate had come down to 1% on September of 2003, and the unemployment rate had risen to 6.1%. Now, in the middle of the presidential election was the next time that the Dow Jones fell below 9,500 after the rally that preceded it. The Dow Jones falling below 9,500 on October of 2008. Fed funds rate had risen to 2%. Unemployment had also risen to 6.6%. And the national public debt had climbed above $10 trillion. Today, the Dow Jones has climbed back above 9,500. Business includes stories about housing's recovery, end of the recession. Fed funds rate is at an effective zero, about 25 basis points, the Fed would say. Unemployment rate has risen to 9.4%, and the national public debt is over $11 trillion. The writer goes on to ask this question. At this point, are there any bullets left to shoot when the economy, which is going up right now, does turn down again, as it always does, whether in 2 months, 2 years, or 5 years? What will we do then? Who decides what people need bailing out this time but won't need bailing out next time? Fascinating article, Fox Business. I encourage you to go take a look at it. Well, that's our recap for this week. It's time for a short break, but stay tuned. We'll be back with much more right after this.